Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and this is an intense period that we're going through right now. It should be one of joy. It should be one of expectation. Why? Because we're in a holiday season, and there's so much that's going on. But sometimes when we're in the holiday season, there's a stimulus of feelings and emotions that can wash over us. There are all kinds of memories that might pop up, good, bad, or indifferent. It is a stimulus for us as individuals because we're so close to coming into a brand new year. My guest today, Guy Finlay, his wonderful book, The Secret of Letting Go, I think is so appropriate for this time of the year because we have the opportunity at any time to do this. But as we're entering into this winter period, and we have a chance, maybe, after all the holiday hubbub, to quiet down. We have a chance to maybe evaluate and to exactly that we're going to be talking about today, and that is letting go of what no longer is needed in our life, what we find that we just don't need to carry in the way of old baggage. Guy Finlay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be with you.
Guy, when I started your book in the very, well, it's right at the beginning, you talk about a wonderful man that you knew, V.H. Who was this man, and how did he influence you?
The acknowledgement at the top of the book I wrote because this is a new and revised version of The Secret of Letting Go, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the first version in 1991, and it actually became a bestseller in the first year it came out. But what happened was that over the last, gosh, like 16 or 17 years, the book had just continued to do well, that the publisher asked me if I would revisit it and add to it, clean it up, you know, polish it, in order to, you know, bring the readers, more or less through those 2 decades. And when I did, it just seemed appropriate to tell the reader about Mr. Howard, Vernon Howard. That's who VH is. He is a gentleman that I met in 1979, before probably many listeners were born. And I worked with Vernon Howard for a number of years, 14 years, 15 years, and he was a great American philosopher, mystic, and as far as I'm concerned, Christian saint. And the book is dedicated in the first page or two to him because of the extraordinary amount of help that he gave to me as I was growing and going through what I needed to learn about letting go.
Becoming an individual, I've said so many times at different points in my programming, and I really feel this is important. Becoming the individual is a very tough journey because it's hard to assess what's going to work for one is going to be applicable for another, which often it is not. And it has been my observation, all of the variables that we go through. Tell us how, and you yourself, you've authored more than 30 books, and you've done audio programs, and you've got your own association, the Life of Learning Foundation. It's a nonprofit center for self-study. You obviously had to go through quite a journey yourself. What started you to say, I don't know anything, I need to start asking questions?
You know, I love that question, Donna, because it leads, as far as I'm concerned, to the heart of something that if we are truly interested in becoming, and we can use the word in many different ways, an individual, and the root of it means that which is undivided, an undivided human being, that it begins with understanding that the reason that we feel, as all of us do, as often as we do, disillusioned, disappointed, disenfranchised, dissatisfied, that we feel these things for a natural reason, a spiritual reason, but we live in a world both outside of ourselves and certainly within ourselves that is the progenitor of that world that we see, that takes this dissatisfied state and then tries to reconcile it by simply reconfiguring all the old ideas that led us to that dissatisfaction in the first place. And it really leads us to the heart of what letting go is. Because when we really get to the bottom of it, and all of us have been through this so that the listeners can join in this conversation, when we realize that who and what we have been and done cannot deliver us to the sense of fulfillment, of kindness, of love that we're looking for, which is always evidenced when a crisis comes along, because a crisis, I call a close encounter of the truthful kind, it's an indication that of myself, I can't go any farther. I don't know the answer. And at that point, because of the way the lessons line up, we just have to let go. We can't do anything else. But when we examine the possibilities that we have as human beings, Donna, life is bringing us opportunities like that all the time, only we don't recognize it, and therefore we don't get to fulfill this wish that we have to be an individual and to bring this conversation full circle, because an individual doesn't turn to old ideas, to imitative behaviors, in order to find what is true and good. An individual is in relationship with one whole life, if you will, and it is forever feeding to that individual the steps that are necessary for his or her fulfillment.
And as you made a point that we can have things around us and yet we cannot see.
Yes.
And you have in the very beginning of your book, The Story of the Archaeologist, which demonstrates that very, very well, how he found that which he was seeking wasn't inside of the temple, and I'm summarizing it quite quickly, but that it was the building itself, the structure itself.
Yes.
And many times the art of letting go means giving up old paradigms. And it's a tough thing sometimes to do on one level. But on another level, you've made a point that when you reach that particular spectrum of awareness, and just like the guy that was the archaeologist, you said, heck, there's nothing I can do about this, so I might as well wait and see how everything's going to come out. Because I have to give up. I'm totally out of control on this.
Yes.
And it's amazing how when you can release two words that I found for myself, especially I'd say in these last couple of years, and it's happened before in my life, but I've been more consciously present with it, trust and release. And that is a part of what you're expressing in this book, The Art of Letting Go.
Very much so.
Very significant. It is so tough. I mean, it really, because we make it tough.
But you know what, Donna? That's where books like The Secret of Letting Go are so essential to a true seeker, a true aspirant of a higher life. Because, unfortunately, we live, all of us, we can't help it, we're born into a world in which the essential consciousness that we enter into is one that starts out with this idea that if life is going to be good and whole and happy, I am going to have to be the one that makes it that way.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And it's a false context. And it's made even more difficult in these recent years because of this growing idea that we are the ones who are created to manifest peace and manifest kindness and manifest abundance and manifest all of this business. And the qualities that we long for in the heart of our hearts as human beings are the simple qualities of being quietly in control of our lives, but not because of possessions or powers we have, but because we have understood a fundamental truth that is at the heart of letting go. And that fundamental truth, Donna, is that everything that comes to us is for the good of us. And when we can recognize that whatever happens comes for the good of us, then we cease to live in fear of what may happen if this, that, or the other takes place. And as we learn to let go of the fear, goes with it the whole idea of protecting ourselves through accumulation, through cultivating image, through all of the various ways in which we attempt to hold our lives together and wind up living strained, stressed existences, when if we could just recognize that when the moment comes, no matter what it is, that it's brought with it something to help me discover the truth of myself. And quickly, just to summarize what I just said, and what is the truth of myself? The truth of myself is that within me at all times lives an intelligence, a light, a goodness that instantaneously knows exactly what to do with whatever moves through me, whether it's caused by someone's action toward me or a thought or feeling that comes up in me that wants me to ache over my past. And as that gets clear to us, then the trust issue that you brought up becomes instantaneous, because we realize that we are made for what happens to us. Then we start to live a truly different order of existence.
When I look back, and I'm coming from a personal reflection here, and sometimes people say, oh, gee whiz, why would you even go into that? Well, I have to speak from my own persona, my own experience, just as you do.
Yes.
And I have found in my own experience, and in working as a counselor with people, in other people's experiences, that these moments of evolution that we go through usually come with a lot of fear, because you are in a positioning where you must be able to look at something straight in the eye. You must be able, and I say must because it is a necessary thing. When you look at something and you can face your fear, then you understand that you are recognizing the strength within yourself. And just as you said, it is the challenge that is there for you.
Yes.
And it is that which enables us to reach often for those opportunities that we otherwise wouldn't even be open or receptive to. We wouldn't even hear someone's suggestions. We're not capable because we're oriented into a different level of accepted thinking.
There's an idea that I love connected with what we're speaking of, and it's this, that the only thing that we ever run into, no matter what it is, that troubles us, is what we have yet to understand about ourselves. With that idea in mind, and we can prove it, it means that I never again have to fear the facial expression of another person, the news that maybe I'm going to be laid off, some shock about my health, the loss of something. All of these things, when they become problems for us, become problems not because the event itself has taken place, but because through that event, my sense of self is threatened.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have become identified and attached to the way I feel and think about myself relative to that possession or power that I believed I had. And when we understand that life really is meant to come along and take these things from us so that we can let go of the sense of ourself that was vested in it, whose very root was fear, because when you're attached to something, you're dependent, you're fearful, then we recognize, you know what? I wonder if, and we can see this is true when it comes to a crisis, I wonder if in this moment, if I was to let go of who I thought I was. And really, what does that mean? Here I am, I'm afraid. My mind's about to run me through the usual routine of figuring out how to protect myself and plan for the future and do all this business to keep myself in place. Maybe the purpose of that moment is to dislodge me from that sense of myself so that I can discover a completely new order of myself that isn't that doesn't require things outside of itself to be dependent on.
You have a very good example relating to that, and you title it A Case of Mistaken Identity.
Yeah, that's a good one. I love this story.
I just love it.
That's exactly it.
And I think it is such a wonderful story, just to follow up with what you're discussing. And for those of you just tuning in, I'm speaking with Guy Finlay. We're discussing his revised, updated version of The Art of Letting Go, or The Secret of Letting Go. And it's about this story that is all about a man who finds himself in a room he didn't recognize, and all kinds of mirrors, closets, and tables, and there's makeup, there's all kinds of things. And he goes and he finds that he's got all kinds of opportunities to wear different things. And so one moment he's got on a uniform, and then he tries another closet, and it's a statesman. And this just goes on and on. And he had gotten a blow to the head, and he didn't realize that he was the owner of the theater, not one of the characters acting on the stage.
Yeah.
And I think when you have an opportunity to study any of the masters, I don't care what generation they come from, it is consistent with anyone that has a real understanding that we come into this experience for the purpose of developing who and what we are. And we all have such phenomenal potential. But to be able to shuck off whatever our cultural indoctrinations, our social indoctrinations, whatever we have bought into, just like the manager of the theater, because he had a blow on the head, he forgot who he was.
Right.
So we go through a type of amnesia. And when we come out of the amnesia, then we go, good gracious, you mean I did all this junk? And you go, yes, but you need to be okay with understanding that and not getting caught up with the fact that you've met the discovery, because then you go about the business of living. Letting go is a pretty difficult thing for most people. And I think when we look at various situations that go on in the world, when we think of, just up here in the state of Washington, the people whose lives were totally, totally wiped out with floods. I mean,
yeah.
Everything, every single physical thing that they had was washed away. They had the clothes on their back. Everything was gone. It's not unlike, we had our own Katrina of a type here in the state of Washington.
Yeah.
And so tens of thousands of people had been affected. And if they are of an understanding, that's pretty tough. They go through a real grieving process with that.
Yes. It's, all that you said is true. And certainly only an insensitive, arrogant individual would ever trivialize anything like what has taken place, not only in Washington, but like you said, in Katrina, but mm-hmm. all over the world.
Oh, yes.
We are consistently running into, and now with with more rapidity, these kinds of problems where what we have based our sense of reality on is just literally washed away. And we don't want to trivialize that, but by the same token, what we want to do is see in scale, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I got on the phone this morning, as an example, I'm making it up, but I got on the phone this morning and someone that I was talking to that I thought was my best friend, I just found out betrayed me.
Mm-hmm.
And now in that moment, does not a great flood come and wash our life away?
Oh, absolutely, when you have something like that. It happens in so many different ways.
It can happen anywhere. In fact, and that's what I'm getting to, is that it happens everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not present to it. We don't realize, and this is what's happened to us, We have become creatures that believe the value of life is somehow relative to the amount of pain we have over it.
That's a fascinating concept. And it's one, I think, that comes from indoctrination. Unless you are fortunate enough to be with someone that has walked a very difficult road, who can be a mentor, who can say to you, take time to watch, look, and listen. Be aware of the people that are around you, that you have the deepest and most profound respect for. Why is it? And they'll often say, it's because they're compassionate. It's because I feel like when I'm in their presence, there is a sense of safety. They have something inside of them that I describe as greatness, but they're never going to be written up in People magazine. Mm. And what they're finding, what they're seeing and recognizing, is the depth of the growth of that soul, whoever it might be, and that that is their potential. That's why it feels so good to them. Gary, we're going to be taking a break for just a moment. Because we started late, then we are going to be expanding some time here with you. So if you'll stay on the phone with me, we're going to take a break here. This is Donna Siebel. My guest is Guy Finley. His book is an international bestseller, The Secret of Letting Go. This is his revised edition. And we're going to be sharing some other things with you. So, Donna Siebel here. Don't go away. We are going to be spending the next quarter hour with Guy, and we'll be sharing some other good concepts. This is a wonderful time to be able to share with yourself, give a gift to yourself, the secret of letting go. It is something that can help you maybe get through something that you've been working on for a long time, and you've thought so hard, and you've tried so hard, and you just go, is it worth it? We'll address that perhaps when we come back. So don't go away. This is Donna Siebel right here at bbsradio.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Siebel to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
This is Donna. We're continuing our chat with Guy Finley and his book, The Secret of Letting Go. Guy, you have a very powerful statement in your book that I really like, and it reads as follows. As you come to own yourself, which is the sole purpose of this life, It becomes impossible to ever think or feel that you are owned by anything or anyone else. This is the only true strength.
Yes.
Boy, when someone can recognize that, you got it made. Because you realize that you don't have to be afraid of anybody ever owning you. And it reminds me of the story of Alexander the Great when he appealed, and I don't remember the sage's name. I know he had a name because it was written in the history books. And whether it's true or not, I love the story anyway.
Yeah.
And that was that he demanded that the sage come to him. And he said, I'm sorry, but you're not my king. And you don't have dominion over my being.
Right.
Because Alexander had just conquered all of the lands
around
the sage. And he went to the sage himself. And the sage knew who he was, and I'm speaking of the sage as an individual, and he had such a tremendous assurance of who he was as an individual, he did not give Alexander the Great dominion over him in any way, shape, or form. If he wanted to come as an equal, that was fine. But he was not his servant, he wasn't his slave, and Alexander respected him and honored him and walked away. And so many times that happens because the sage didn't want anything from Alexander the Great.
There's a an idea that will tie into that, that the only thing that troubles us, Donna, ever, in any relationship that we have with another human being, is what we want from them. And if we could really see that, even someone we don't know, you know, you go to a restaurant and someone, in quote, you know, doesn't serve you the way you want to be served. The only time that we get into trouble with other human beings is because of this, of a mistaken idea that we have without knowing that we live from it, that who and what we are is somehow defined by the people around us, whether what we want from them or what we don't want from them. And as a man or a woman begins to work on themselves, truly work on themselves, and wake up to realize that within us lives this nature, I call it the false self, that is forever finding a way to first define itself through its relationships with others, but then through that defining, failing to see that it is confining itself to those same relationships, because if a person doesn't respect me or give me what I want, doesn't treat me properly, or if I want something from them that I believe is necessary for my fulfillment, then I do not own my own life. I have given my life away, and not to that person, I might add, but to this idea that it's possible to fulfill myself through something outside of myself. And the minute, or as that grows clear, I should say, then it isn't that our relationships, become less loving. The truth is we become more kind, compassionate people, because now we're not doing things for people out of the fear of what we'll lose for not doing that.
When we can reach a point when we will give because that's what we want to do, not because society thinks that's what we should do. Or
yes.
This, that, or the other. When we give according to our own inner nature, we're not going to, if we're really honest with ourselves, we do it for the right reasons, and those right reasons we don't have to have anybody else identify for. There was a story I shared on my show yesterday about a man that had gone through tremendous deprivation and very, very hard times, ended up becoming a multimillionaire. And every year around the holiday season, he was what they called the Secret Santa. And he would be able to spot people. He'd just walk up to them. Because he had walked their walk, he could feel what they went through and would help them. And he always did this anonymously. And he just passed away earlier this year. And he did what he did, not because he had to, not because of guilt. He did it because he identified a need. And it was his joy to be able to fulfill it. And I have met a number of people like this in my life. And I feel so fortunate because they are a prime example, and they really don't give a hoot if they're ever acknowledged by anyone.
Yes.
And that form of giving, this gentleman gave money. He had abundance of that. Other people sometimes give a story. Sometimes it's a smile. It is whatever comes from within itself, courtesy, thoughtfulness, attentiveness, clarity. All of these things are gifts. There are so many gifts that can be given. And that's why I thought talking about your book today was so important, because I think one of the fallacies we have in life to deal with is that we need to take and be consciously present with wherever we are. And if we go through different challenges, to be able to look them in the eye, and if you feel crappy, you say, I feel crappy, and not be ashamed of it. And maybe you don't know. You might be picking up somebody else's feelings, but just realize that that's where you are at that moment. It's not going to stay with you. Not be afraid of it.
There's an idea that I'd like to sew into this conversation at this point that ties in with everything that we've been talking about. We are not, as human beings, intended ever to be self-compromising. When we think of an individual, a true individual, what we see is someone who somehow has found a way to live without compromising himself or herself for the sake of, and then fill in the blanks, pleasing others, pursuing more pleasures, trying to get more possessions to identify with and be identified as having. But what we don't understand, it seems, is that our ability to live without compromising ourselves is not something that we create. We have within us, Donna, within us, an uncompromisable character. The heart of letting go is being in a living relationship with this uncompromised character that lives in the center of us. We don't have to think to ourselves. This is one of our problems, but we don't see it as a problem. In fact, some of us take it as a strength that we can think our way out of a jam. In business, maybe that's good, but when it comes to our personal lives and the suffering or the privation of being somehow thrown into some dark state, that we're intended to be able to awaken ourselves to ourselves in the present moment, drop this thinking and this consistent struggle to save ourselves with the next plan, and allow this mindfulness, allow ourselves to be present enough to be first conscious of the fact that, you know what, there's this thought and it's trying to drag me down. But I've had this kind of thought all my life, or here's this event and it looks like something's going to take something from me and I'm starting to be afraid of it and my mind's starting to try to protect me from the image that it's painting of this fearful event, whatever the case may be, to come awake to ourselves in the moment and bring our full attention into our awareness of the whole of ourselves. Because in that whole awareness, there is an intelligence that simply will not only not compromise itself, but that becomes conscious of those conditions that are trying to drag us down and effortlessly separates us from what was about to drag us into its suffering. This is the heart of letting go. We all intuitively know that we're not meant to be hateful or spiteful or regretful or fearful, but we don't understand where the power comes from that gives us the fulfillment of that promise we sense. It comes from this living awareness, this intelligence, this God-given character that all of us have, that we simply need to turn to all the time, really live in, which is the presence of the moment, so that its power goes before us to make the crooked places straight.
You have a good story in your book about a woman, Alexis, that brings this full circle. And I won't divulge the story, but in it there is a discovery of the game of make-believe. So our listeners will have to get the book so that they can read it. I know we're just about out of time. Guy, you have revisited something you wrote so many years ago, you have revised it to bring it into what is our time of the moment.
Yes.
What would you like to leave my listeners with in the way of a thought?
I'll leave the listeners with a thought that we started the show with. You asked me about VH, the man I dedicated the show to.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me, first with words, then by example, and finally helped me to see the truth of it myself, that defeat has no right to exist. That there is something that lives within us that is capable of entering into any moment and exiting it a different order of human being if we are willing to see that we have come to the end of what we are capable of doing for ourselves and from ourselves in that moment. This is the true letting go. It's giving ourselves up because we understand that something greater lives in us, waiting to give us what we need to become the new order of human being that alone satisfies our wish to be whole.
And I think that's a very good thought to close our conversation with. I think it's important for us to recognize that as individuals, when we take this step for ourselves, there's a ripple effect that's going to go out and affect everyone that we come in contact with.
Yes.
And what a wonderful gift to be able to give to another is the example and the warmth and the fulfillment of discovering the self. Guy Finley, thank you so much for being my guest. Your book, The Secret of Letting Go, is wonderful.
Thank you. And can I quickly, Donna, mention that at guyfinley.org,
yes.
G-U-I-F-I-N-L-E-Y, guyfinley.org, right on the homepage, a person can click through to that book, and we send a free DVD with that book to anyone that orders, and shipping is free in the United States. So it's a wonderful offer. Plus, we have some literally months worth of free materials, MP3s and downloads at guyfinley.org. Do visit the website if you're interested in what we've spoken about.
Thank you, Guy. Happy holidays to you.
And to you too, Donna. Safe, be safe, and all bright things to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Donna Sebo. We're getting ready to take a break. Don't go away. More good things coming. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is
www.delphiinternational.com. And telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. For those of you who are new listeners to the Donna Sebo Show, we're delighted to have you join us. And I want you to be aware that if you call in, all I want from you is your first name or your initial, and then let me tell you what I perceive. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling from, and then you're welcome to ask a question. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Troy Townsend. We're going to be talking about cooking with wines of Washington and Oregon. Ooh, are we going to have some recipes for you? So I'm not going to go into recipes at all today. Of course, you know how I love to cook. In fact, I fixed some coconut streusel muffins for guests that we had this morning. Let me tell you, if you don't want to look like one doesn't do it. I mean, you want not just one, but more than one. So if I can, I'll be sharing that recipe with you. It's good anytime. And it's so easy to fix, and you can adapt it in all kinds of ways. But anyway, I'm not going to go into that today. We've got a caller, so let's go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name's Rebecca, and I'm calling from San Francisco area.
From San Francisco. Wonderful. I bet you that city is just lit up, using an old adage, like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, it is. It is. People go all out to decorate.
Isn't it fun? It's just absolutely wonderful to be in a big city like that. It's like New York.
Yeah.
New York, San Francisco. They just go all out. It's so much fun. Well, Rebecca, let's get down to business with you, hon. I feel as if you are trying to break through a closed door.
Okay, could you talk up a little bit, Donna? It's hard to hear you.
Okay, I think that Seth will turn up the sound a little bit better.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm looking at is that there's a door in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how in the police shows they show the guys, you know, putting their shoulder to the door and breaking it down?
Right.
Well, this is the kind of imagery that I'm getting with you. And I'm seeing you getting nothing but a sore shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something you are trying to break through. You want to get past. I want to say, figure out how you can jimmy the lock and just open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Stop trying to do it the hard way, because it's not going to pay off. I think you need to be able to stand back and to ask yourself, what options do I have? And you need to ask other people whose expertise is more sophisticated than yours.
Okay.
If you do that, you're not going to end up aching all over, so to speak, and frustrated.
Okay.
So I want you to be aware of that. It will enable you, after the first of the year, to go through the entryway without difficulty. That's the only way I know how to say it.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a different strategy. Also, I do think you need to see a dentist. I am looking at what appears to be a tiny spot on two teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm concerned with is that there could be a low-grade infection in and under the tooth. So what's on the outside is going to be very tough to see. So if you notice any kind of sensitivity with your teeth, don't dally.
Okay.
Get into the dentist.
Because
this is something that is so tiny on the outside, it might even be missed in a normal examination, or a dentist might not think much of it.
Okay.
But I think it is something that bothers me here. I don't want you to ignore it.
Okay.
What's on your mind? What would you like to ask me, Rebecca?
Well, I am trying to go through a doorway, and financially, or I guess job-wise, what do you see coming up for me and when?
I'm looking at the number 6. I'm assuming it's 6 weeks.
Okay.
Let me ask you what you're looking for. What kind of a positioning are you wanting to procure?
Well, it's I'm not really too sure. What I need to do is start having some income come in, and then I was looking at maybe doing some custom sewing stuff and putting it out on the internet.
I don't know that that's going to work as well for you as you anticipate at this moment. What have you done in the past? What's your background?
Oh, I've done software, high-tech kinds of stuff, customer service, management.
All right. I think what you need to do is to really assess what you've enjoyed doing that's easy for you to do. This is really going to sound corny, but let's say it was a piece of cake for you to resolve software problems. Someone could bring you this complicated message, you look at it, it's just your thinking, and you go, oh, take A, take W down here, put it up with triple D over there, and mm-hmm. you'll have it working. And they'll go, how'd you do that? And you say, that's a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pay attention to your skills mm-hmm. that are so easy for you
mm-hmm.
that you don't give yourself any credit for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. And once
I'm looking at you having an opportunity with an organization that I believe is two businesses in one, and one of them is a non-profit side. So this is a well-established business, and I think you need to make it okay to focus on what's most comfortable for you to do, where it's almost like a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Focus on that first. That's the kind of work you need to look for. Then when it comes to the creative venue, I want you to do that on a part-time basis and link up with people that really have the need, whether it's designing costumes for a theater or if you're wanting to do costumes for people or you're wanting to do special custom design work. You need to think this through very carefully because you are going to find you're going to spin your wheels and you're not going to be able to generate income with it.
Okay.
So I want you to be able to come out in a win-win positioning.
Okay.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, you totally are. It sounds like what I need to do is really formulate what my skills are, and once I know, it's going to, you know, opportunities are going to show up.
Well, it's not a matter of showing up. It is a matter of your recognizing what comes to you so easily you could do it blindfolded.
Okay.
And you just don't even think twice about it. You just do it. It's like a friend of mine who is just a natural accountant.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, this woman is just great. I'd say, this is what you do it. And she'd say, oh, yeah, but it's no big deal.
Uh-huh.
It is a big deal.
Okay.
And now she's got a business of her own that gives her a phenomenally comfortable income.
Okay.
I would say, go to some people that you really have a working relationship with that's a good one.
Okay.
And ask them what they see as your greatest strength.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if they were to make a suggestion to you about what your strongest points are, and if so, where would they recommend that you place yourself to be able to utilize those points?
Okay.
Don't focus on your weaknesses. Focus on your strengths, which include extremely good communication skills.
Okay. Okay, and just one other thing. Do you see me moving from my current location anytime
soon? Not right away.
Not right away?
Not right away, but I think in about 5 years.
Oh, from my current home where I live?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's
I think
good.
In about 5 years, and I think it'll be done because of economics.
Okay.
I think you are going to be in a different location with what you want to do. So
okay.
In about 5 years. But I wouldn't even go there right now. Don't even bother with that. It's all going to fall into place.
Okay, yeah, because friends are like, you need to move somewhere cheaper, and, you know, it's kind of focusing on those
no,
things.
No, you don't focus on that. Your
okay.
friends are stuck in a paradigm of thinking.
Okay.
And excuse me for interrupting you. I didn't mean to overpower you. That's rather rude, what I did.
Oh, no, no problem.
I want you to focus on what I've suggested. Don't go according to the old paradigm. You're wanting to break through, but you need to utilize your assets.
Okay. Okay.
All right, dear.
Great show today, Donna. Guy's information, it's something I'm going to go back and listen to because he had a lot of really profound kind of different shifts in paradigm.
And absolutely.
Yeah, he was very, I don't want to say intense, but he had a lot of deep material to share. So it's going to take more than one kind of, you know, it's going to take a little bit to digest. And I just want to say, great show, great guest.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that feedback. You
Thanks.
Have a marvelous holiday, dear.
You too. Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and we started a little bit late today, so we still have time to get a call. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, telephone number 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756. One of my joys is always sharing information about people who live life in their capacity, and it's very complimentary to what Guy said, but I think we've got another caller, so if I have the time to share the story, I will. If not, we'll do it tomorrow. Let's take this next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Washington.
From Washington? Where in Washington?
Washington State. Puyallup.
Oh, in Puyallup.
Yeah.
Boy, we have some gorgeous weather today. And what's your first name or initial, dear?
Julie.
Julie.
Yeah.
All right. Julie, the first thing I'm looking at is you're working on some documents, and you're sitting at a desk,
mm-hmm.
and you are going through it, and you're having to fill out some forms. So I don't know whether you're applying for a job, a class at a university. I just don't know what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm seeing your mind sort of drifting.
Mm-hmm.
And you've
that
got,
happens often.
Well, I think what happens is that you have been a troubleshooter for most of your life. People have come into your space, and it's very easy for you to, as a troubleshooter, say, we can take care of this, and you put on your superwoman cape, and off you fly.
Mm.
And you're great at this. You really, really are. You are an intelligent woman that has a tenacity that I think is phenomenal.
Thank you.
Your lifestyle is changing dramatically. Your level of responsibilities are altering dramatically. You are in a positioning between 2008 and 2010 of having a life of your own that will be giving you the opportunity to educate yourself, make your shifts as you want to make them without being accountable to anybody else. This is happening for you. I want to say don't muck it up and try to rescue someone who's going to be coming into your life crying, moaning, and groaning and saying, I need to be taken care of. Don't go there. I want you to be totally selfish. I want you to focus on yourself. And you may think that's appalling, but you have got this need to grow, hon. And I want to say give this to yourself. Give this gift of self-expansion to you. And someone may call you selfish. You may have some people that will think you're disgusting in some respects, and you need to just bless them and move on. Because what you are going to be able to do with your life after this investment for the self is going to be wonderful. You're going to be able to help so many people. By the way, you've got a problem with your left eye. You may need to have an examination.
My left
Something
eye?
Something with the left eye. It's bothering me tremendously all of a sudden. So
okay.
It could be you've got a weak muscle or there's something going on with the internal workings of the eye. I know we're just about out of time, hon. Can you give me a quick question?
Yeah, I was just curious if I just went and got my GED and I'm older and I really want to do a lot for the world and I really don't know what direction to go. I want to go to school, but I'm not sure what direction I should
go
in. All
right, start out. If you got your GED, just
right.
start out and get an associate's in the liberal arts. Just start there.
Liberal arts.
Start
okay.
there.
Okay, perfect.
And the rest will take care of itself. Hon, I've got to go. I'm sorry to be so
okay.
abrupt here. We're out of time.
God
Thank
bless you
so much.
Holiday.
It's well, you too. Thank you. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, this hour just went by like the wind. And I want you to remember you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is a great day in your life. It is a day that you have control over your mind, your attitude, your spirit, and your actions. Nobody else has that dominion, but you do. And join us tomorrow. We're going to have a great guest. We're going to be talking about wines from Washington and Oregon and the wonderful dishes that you're going to be able to fix with it. Perfect for the holidays. This is Donna Siebel. You have a fabulous evening. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day. you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hey everybody, this is Ethan Drake. I am the star of science fiction show Lex the Dark Zone. Well, I hope you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's show on bbsradio.com. See, well, if you want to do Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy.
Health Science and.
Oh, what was it?
Health Science and.
Health Science.
Just say you're listening to Dr. Bell's Health Science and.
And Energy.
Health Science and.
Energy show?
That yeah. works. In fact, I can
edit. Health, Energy, and Science show.
Health, Science, and...
We just call it the Dr. Bell show.
Okay, well, that's what I did.
Same thing, only a little shorter. Yeah, same thing. Health, Science, and...